Pipehacker.com presents Small Tunes, vintage melodies from the bagpipe tradition.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Small Tunes. In this episode, we take another dive into the Campbell Cantrick manuscripts. In two other episodes of Small Tunes, I've explored other tunes from these manuscripts, Hodin, Hiotra, and one of the Irish Pibroch. You can review those podcasts at pipehacker.com for more background on those tunes and the Campbell manuscripts as well. For this episode, we examine another tune titled by Campbell as One of the Cragic, Hiherin Hiodre En, which is tune 35 from volume 1 of his manuscripts. The two volumes of Campbell's instrumental book, a.k.a. the Campbell Cantrick, a.k.a. the Netherlorn Manuscripts, have been an inexhaustible resource for students and players of pibroch since their initial rediscovery in 1909. The earliest of the two volumes is dated 1797, and Campbell's transcription of the 169 tunes in both volumes provides the earliest known documentation of pibroch and has acted as the reference material for much of the established pibroch repertoire for the last 100 years. After so much time of study, though, one might think that the manuscripts have nothing new left to offer, but that's not the case. The proper execution of Campbell's Cantrick vocables still mystify pipers today, and the variety that exists in the settings of what have become established tunes still offer excitement. Some of the more intriguing mysteries in these manuscripts lay in the obscure class of nine tunes Campbell has called the Cragic. Now, the most sensible translation of the word Cragic is as a colloquialism for small rocks or rough place. The general consensus by past editors of the Pibroch Society is that the word Cragic is a descriptive term meaning rough or irregular, and that this referred to the tunes themselves. But this line of thinking makes little sense and brings us many questions. Rough drafts are typically a first go for new music. If these tunes are nothing but drafts, who first drafted them, and why would they have remained a draft up to the time Campbell transcribed them? Why would they have been part of the repertoire at all? And more important, why would they have been taught? The meticulous formality Campbell applies to his manuscripts makes it odd that he would have documented tunes that were effectively garbage. The more time I spend with these short craggy tunes, though, the more it becomes clear that they are not garbage at all, but part of a formal class of functional tune. We're so used to pibroch being about big ideas, people, and events that we lose sight of the music that likely had a common functional purpose in the culture as well. Functional classes of tunes are certainly not unknown in the larger pibroch repertoire. Many tunes, such as Tarlegard or the Park Pibroch, fall into the classification of gathering tunes with distinct rhythms of alarm or announcement. Similarly, laments fulfilled their assigned role as well with musical phrases and tones that mark sadness. Many of the tunes that have clear purposes are big, grand, and important, and we have no trouble ascribing a possible function or feeling to them. Pipers do the same thing with light music, too. So why do we not consider these cragic tunes in the same manner? Is it because they are too small and not complicated enough? Well, it could be that their length and relative difficulty is a feature of their function. The fact that these tunes were overlooked by later editors and players as not being important enough is perhaps an inadvertent nod to actual truth, depending on your point of view. They were important tunes to play in the common circumstances requiring them, but not important enough to be played by the master pipers. These tunes, perhaps, being common functional tunes, would have been beginner tunes. They are easy to play, not technically challenging, and have simple repeating rhythms that are easily remembered. The real challenge is to bring out the right mood and the phrasing that suits the moment. As such, they were good practice, as well as being pleasing to hear. These tunes would have been given to the young pupils to play out in the cold and the wet and the rough, rocky places as needed. A duty perhaps not befitting the master players when their presence was not really required. But what would that purpose have been? I think the way to understanding Campbell's vocables in these tunes is not just through the study of those written pages with the conceit of a modern eye. It's through the heads and hearts of the people who lived during that time. Hugh Cheap briefly makes this point in his book, Bagpipes, A National Collection of a National Instrument, and is worth noting. Quote, "Arguably, group structure and group consciousness may be as important, and sometimes more important, than musicality in the interpretation of pibroch. And in turn, this broader, almost anthropological interpretation of pibroch may add insights to the understanding of the group and its dynamic in different archaic societies, as well as the music itself." End quote. What this suggests to me is that it is necessary to imagine shared cultural moments that perhaps required a bagpipe as soundtrack. If, in fact, Campbell's cragic tunes were functional duty tunes that accompanied certain cultural moments, what becomes clear is that the key to their interpretation lies in the distinct musical characteristics that could be associated with emotional responses. From there, we follow the thread to the type of shared event where people might have experienced those emotions. Now, there are two types of broad cultural experience in my mind that would have been communally shared and punctuated with a piper: arrivals and departures. We share those experiences today and accent them with bagpipes. It's not a stretch to imagine some arrivals and departures in the ancient Scottish Highlands would have been publicly recognized. It also would have happened outdoors with many people present and brought with them an emotional impact of some sort. With respect to this particular Craggic tune here, which I've conventionally named by its beginning notes, Hihirin Hyodre En, it has many characteristics that would suggest it could have been played for a departure of some kind. It's not soulful like a lament, but has a somewhat regal march-like rhythm. The lines develop quickly, and each one being almost a variation of the one before it. This suggests to me a quickness and urgency, or movement of some kind. The short length yet rapid development of the phrases suggests a temporal component to the experience it accompanied. So not only do we have movement, but movement that has clear end, something that is finished in a short amount of time as reflected in the tune itself. Other characteristics include irregular rhythms throughout the tune that create worried tension. The melody progresses but does not resolve clearly and keeps changing, creating a source of complaint. In the few spots it does resolve, it is on the more uneasy B, reflecting an emotional state of concern or worry. There are many passages in this tune that suggest distinct movement within an emotional framework. The Hin no dro and Dre o dro movements in this tune evoke an away we go kind of feel. It is a familiar motif and it features in many marches and piping light music as well. The tune feels to me like it could serve as a ceremonial send-off with the wistful hope for a speedy return. The tune is just long enough for a small company to shrink toward the horizon until they are eventually out of sight. Play it through enough times and you might also hear the echoes of a roaring rhythm. Departures by boat would have been a common experience in the ancient Outer Highland regions. If the same group were departing the isles to the mainland by barge, or vice versa, a regular, uneventful, and normal thing, but a journey worth noting publicly, then this tune would have been played on the rocky shore as the boat departed and moved slowly, then quickly out of sight. Campbell's cantric vocables present a challenge in interpretation when setting them in modern conventional bagpipe style. There are distinct patterns Campbell has used in his vocables with regard to cadences and grace notes, but there have also been serious deviations from that pattern over the generations and transcriptions by others that have since become standard in the repertoire. Now, there's merit to a literal interpretation, but I've opted to better capture the emotional impact with insertions or removals of cadences and the like. As a result, the setting I've presented here departs somewhat from what Campbell has written. This tune in particular presents a challenge when inserting cadences or not in the modern style. Cadences offer a sensible pause in certain places, but not so in others. Campbell does not indicate cadences at all, and they are only suggested when in combination with certain fingering. I've interpreted Campbell's use of hyo, H-I-O, to be both a G grace note on B as well as a short E cadence within the tune to keep the rhythm more balanced and create what I feel is the right mood. I interpret cadences in the first lines and judiciously leave them out as the tune progresses to evoke the building urgent rhythms of a rowing boat or marching group. My gut tells me that this is what pipers of old did with all their tunes, altered them to suit the moment and strike the right atmosphere, so forgive me for channeling the spirit of a common 17th century piper. I think that when we interpret these interesting Craggic tunes, or any ancient pibroch for that matter, we can unlock their secrets by exploring how people lived, how they behaved, and what would have made the most sense in the context of their lives. People are the missing components when it comes to this kind of research. Lines of thinking about what the music meant to the people who heard it become more important than whether a double echo should be played here or a throw there or an F in that phrase instead of an E. Instead, we look to folks living among the rich and beautiful and oftentimes harsh landscape that is the Highlands and the Isles. We look at the things they did, their everyday lives, the shared experiences that even today we take for granted, traveling from place to place, gathering to celebrate births and marriages, working together, celebrating holidays, eating and drinking, cavorting with friends, hunting, fishing, buying and selling. These things took place with the same flavor and the same emotions then, 300 years ago, as they do now. People have always experienced the sadness of separation, the giddiness of arrivals, pride and accomplishment, excitement and anticipation of a successful harvest or fishing haul. Back then, those things likely had their own soundtrack, as many of the same things do today. Capturing that centuries-old theme music happens when we open ourselves to the feelings it inspires and its connection to the specific experience. While we can never truly connect with the rhythms of life 300 or more years ago, the music that accompanied these experiences create a faint mirage. Through it, we catch a glimpse of the time long past and perhaps share a bit in the experiences that made it special. I'd particularly like to thank Patrick Millard for his insight and comments when building the interpretation of this tune. You can view the set score for this tune as well as others in the Small Tunes series at pipehacker.com. I'm Vince Janoski. Thanks for listening, and enjoy this rendition of Hihirin Hyodre En, one of the Craggit from the Campbell Cantor.